Welcome to the Journey of You, Reflections on Faith, Identity, and Becoming. I'm your host, Tonya D. Bennis. This is a space to slow down, breathe deep, and tell the truth about where you've been, where you are, and who you're becoming. Here, your story is honored, but it does not define you. It becomes your testimony. Wherever you're listening from, you're invited to settle in. You don't have to rush this journey. You don't have to walk it alone.
The more I travel on this journey of self-awareness and learn about me, the more that I solidify my story and what makes me me. And so today I want to help you focus on that same thing. So, good morning. Today we are talking just about the importance of self-awareness and how critical it is in determining who God created you to be. And I know oftentimes, myself included, we get caught up in like our roles or maybe our titles. Like it's, you know, your role as a mom, your role as a wife, or your title, you know, at work or at church or in whatever position or capacity that you serve. And so when people are like, oh, okay, well, it's nice to meet you. Who are you? And the first thing you normally say is like what you do. You don't typically explain who you are. And I think we've gotten so conditioned in our society that our value, our identity, everything about us is surrounded by what we do, but it's actually intrinsically different than who you are. So we're answering a who question with a what answer. And so we've got to work on figuring out who we are. Who you are is who God created and designed you to be before he placed you in your mother's womb. It has absolutely nothing to do with what you do. Because what you do can change on a week-to-week basis, daily, yearly, you know, depending on whatever season you're in, that can change. But who you are is unique to you. That's what makes you different than other people. Like, there are a lot of people out there that might teach, a lot of people that might, you know, help or be in hospitality or that coach or that travel or do travel planning or that are in real estate, like myself. Like, there are so many different people to choose from in each of those arenas, but there's something about each of them that makes them unique, that's just authentic to them. And so parts of their story intertwine and relate to your story, and so you're drawn to working with them for those reasons. And that's what you've got to learn and know about yourself, of like, what's special about you, because each and every person has something special about them. It's the experiences that you've been through. It's the things that you've walked through and overcome. It's the things that God placed in you. Like, maybe you are an extrovert and you really enjoy interacting and talking to other people. Maybe you're on the flip side of that and you're an introvert and you don't really like to talk to a lot of people except for people that you know. So striking up a new conversation is harder because you like to keep to yourself and, you know, keep that inner circle. Both are extremely important and valued and unique, but and you've got to embrace those things about you. You don't have to shy away from it or feel, you know, oh, well, because I'm different, you know, I can't hang with this group, or I can't talk to these people because I'm different. No, embrace those differences, because that's what makes you unique and beautiful. And those are the parts of you that other people are going to want to see. And so for me, I've been working with my coach, and one of the things that, you know, she talks about is the importance of connecting all the dots of your story. And I know I always talk about how everybody has a story, and I'm like, share your story. I mean, that's the whole point, you know, even of the journey of you, is being able to share your story with other people and then equipping, empowering, and encouraging you to move forward through that story, to not get stuck in limiting beliefs or the exact trauma or different things that you've experienced in your story. But how can you grow through that to now be able to help other people and become exactly who God created you to be? And so she gave us these different exercises. And I was really excited about it because I've written down different parts of my story, you know, in my journals and, you know, different, you know, Word documents or notes or whatever, just whenever things come to me. But to really bring it all together and understand, like, this is what makes me me. Like, this is why I feel this way. This is why I enjoy doing this or talking to these kind of people or working with these clients. It's because of that relation in our stories. And so this week I want you to think about that in terms of your self-awareness and learning you and who you are, what makes you tick? What are the things that you are passionate about? What are the things that you wake up and you're like, I really, really want to help with this, or I want to help these people do this? Start thinking about why. Are there parts of your story that maybe you felt the same way as those people that you want to help? That maybe you experienced it and it was tough for you, or it was a very low point and you had to walk through, crawl through, you know, some of those situations before you were able to be like, okay, I'm on the other side, and how you went through it. Now you want to help other people who are doing the same thing walk through it as well until you're drawn to them. Or thinking about on the flip side of that, like maybe, you know, you were looking for acceptance, or, you know, it was missing. You were missing feeling accepted. You were missing feeling loved, or feeling like you belonged, or, you know, missing, you know, feeling like you were chosen. And so because of that, you want to make sure that you're pouring that into the people around you, because it was something that you felt like you missed out on. And so you're looking for it now. And so just thinking about those things of really pinpointing, like, what are the root causes of the things that you feel? And my coach actually refers to it as stop and go. And she talked about how, what are your stop stories? Those things that stop you dead in your tracks, that maybe you're triggered by something, and all of a sudden you can't function or focus on anything else because you're stuck in either. It could be, you know, like we talk about limiting beliefs. It could be a certain mindset. It can just be a loop of something that has occurred before and you haven't quite figured out how to walk through that, where you don't stay stuck. And sometimes you might get stuck for a moment and then you're able to, you know, flip the script and shift your mindset and move forward. And so each time it's less and less time that you're spending stuck. And so thinking also about your go stories, what are those things that come to mind that you're like, yes, I got this, and it helps you hit the ground running to keep moving forward? And being able to differentiate between those two so that you can determine when you are stuck and keep moving forward. And in those moments when it's like, nope, I got this, let's hit the ground running. I'm going to believe, you know, God's truth and what he says about me, not the lies of the enemy. And being able to navigate that. And when you actually sit down and write it all out, whether you choose to write it on paper, whether you choose to do it digitally or electronically, what does it say about you overall? Because that really helps you when you can see those moments visually. Write the vision and make it plain, that he may run that reads it. We all know that's in Habakkuk 2:2. But when you can visualize and see, like, this is where I've been, this is what I've been through, these are the different things I've experienced, or the different groups that I was a part of, and okay, are you still a part of those groups? Do you still desire to be a part of those groups? Or has your mindset shifted? You know, are you in a different season that it's like, okay, you know, I used to be with, you know, just for example, like, let's say you were with all your single friends and you guys were hanging out. And maybe, you know, you went out dancing, or you went out, you know, to like Sips and Strokes, you know, because you like to do, you know, creative stuff. Or, you know, maybe you were in a book club, but now all of a sudden you find yourself, you know, in a relationship or married, and most of your friends now, you're transitioning to married friends, you know, because now they have something in common with you that maybe the friends you had before don't. Or, you know, now you're a mom, and so you've entered into a whole nother club, and so now you're getting to know other moms and setting up play dates. And so as you go through life, those things transition. Sometimes your friends transition with you, and you're all walking through those same things together. You might enter into marriage at the same time, enter into parenthood at the same time. You know, maybe your kids become school age at the same time, and that's a whole nother thing. And so, and you know, some, and maybe some aren't. Maybe they have a different path, and that's not the route they want to go. And so you kind of grow apart. It's not that there's anything wrong with you or your friend. You're just in different seasons of life, and that's okay. And so learning that about yourself, so that you're not feeling guilt or shame because you're no longer wanting to do the same things that you used to, you know, with your friends, you know, those old patterns and ways of thinking. Again, not saying there's anything wrong with it, but it's just that you've evolved. And so you've got to know that about yourself, so that way you don't feel guilty. Or if people are like, well, you don't hang out with me anymore, or you don't act the same way you used to, you don't want that to cause you to feel guilty. And then you're saying yes, begrudgingly, in a way that you feel like, well, I'm obligated to go and hang out with them. You're not. You get one shot at this thing called life, and you have to make your dash count. And so that means sitting down and determining what is most important to you in this season of life right now, so that you can be fully intentionally present. And if you're trying to appease everybody else and let everybody else make your decisions for you in terms of telling you what to do and when you should do it, and you're trying to accommodate everyone, you're going to be burned out. And you're not going to be living life to the fullest that's best for you and the ones around you because you're too busy trying to do too many things for too many people. You are not Jesus. So we're going to stop right now and say that out loud. I am not Jesus. You cannot be everybody's savior. You cannot be omnipresent. You cannot be in a million places at one time trying to help everybody all at the same time because you will be depleted. You cannot pour from an empty vessel. So it's important for you to sit down regularly, whether you do it monthly, whether you do it quarterly. I wouldn't say annually because that's just too far apart, but at least once a quarter, sit down and assess the season you're in. Just like the season outside physically changes in nature, you've got to determine internally what's working best for you right now in this season. Maybe you're constantly involved in a lot of different committees and you're out in the community doing a lot of work and your kids are involved in a bunch of activities. And you're exhausted, and it's like, oh man, time's going. You know, we're having fun, we're spending time together. But maybe in this season, you need to say no and let go of some of those things that you're doing, some of those activities. Maybe your kids need to sit this season out. Sometimes it's okay for them to do that. They don't have to have every single minute of their life planned. They've got to also know how to sit down and be still, silence the noise, be able to hear from God, be able to sit still with their thoughts so that they can be in tune with themselves and determine what they do like, what they don't like, what they enjoy, what they don't enjoy, so that way they can start making some decisions for themselves as well. You don't want them to constantly be feeding, you know, their face with a screen or constantly, you know, on the phone with somebody or constantly watching TV. Like, they've got to have some downtime so that their minds can also take a break. Where they're not having to constantly be on, oh, I gotta go to practice, oh, I'm leaving this practice, going to this practice, oh, now I've got a game. They need to be able to settle down and sit still sometimes too. Oftentimes we put them in a million activities thinking that we just gotta keep them busy, but they've gotta know how to find that balance. They've gotta be able to create balance, and we've gotta help them do that by not constantly making them do a million different things. Same thing for us, because when we have them in all those activities, you've got to drive them there, you've got to think about the gas going there, you've got to think about the time it's going to take, and then food. And are we really eating that well if we're constantly on the go? And then when do you have downtime? When are you going to schedule time for self-care, time for you to just sit still in silence? That's a lot more difficult to do when you're constantly on the go. And so having those seasons where it's like, you know what, we're going to sit this season out. We're going to focus on family. We're going to focus on our relationship with each other or our relationship with God. You know, I'm going to have the kids sit out, you know, this season because, okay, I'm focusing on my relationship with my spouse. Like, there are different things that you can put in place so that you can create the balance that you're looking for, where you're still able to do all the things that you were created to do because we're not one-dimensional. We are definitely multifaceted individuals, but you've got to be able to create what's best for you in this season, and nobody knows that better than you and God. And so being able to spend that time with him and showing him, like, Lord, this is my calendar, these are all the things I have on it, what are the things that are the best yes for me right now that you want me to focus on? What are the things that I need to let go of? What are the things that I need to shelve for a while? That way you can have focus on the things that you need to focus on, and you can make sure that you're doing the things that are the best things for you to do, that you are the best at. I am so into delegating, automating, and eliminating right now, just between the books, you know, Procrastinate on Purpose. And then I just finished Who Not How, and I'm getting ready to start 10X, Not 2X, and just books that my coaches are like, you know, focus on this. And it lines up so well with what I'm constantly teaching about multiplying your time and ensuring that you are making your dash count. And so I want you to do that same thing. What are the things in your life that you can automate? That it's working like clockwork. What are the things that you can delegate that somebody else who is designed to do those things, that enjoys doing those things, can do and take off your plate? Here's a hint. It's the things that you don't really enjoy doing. Or the things that you're just like, oh, it's such a time suck for you that you could be doing something else more productive, but you're having to focus on doing this before you can do those other things. Those are the types of things that you can delegate to someone else. What are the things that you can eliminate? For me, email was a really big one because it does really take up a lot of time. every time I get the email that's like, oh, these pins are great for you, and it's going to show me like 10 different DIY projects that I would love to do. Well, I don't have time to sit and scroll through that right now. I've got other things to do. Or every time you go in a store and you get rewards and they're like, sign up for this, sign up for that. I've got so many of those different emails that I'm subscribed to. Well, it got to the point that I have over 14,000 emails. Well, this is my main email that I conduct really important stuff out of. All the stuff for my kids is in there. All of my bills, everything comes to that email. I don't want to miss those things that are important because it's drowning in all of these other subscription emails. So I went through and unsubscribed. Nothing against any of those places. I can easily go look them back up at any time that I want to, but it just made me be able to declutter my inbox so that way when I get to it, it's just the most important things that I need. So maybe each day I might have 30 or 40 emails instead of 200 or 300 where it gets overwhelming very quickly. And so just start thinking about those things for you. Like, what are the things that you can eliminate so that it can free up your time to really spend it the way that you want to spend it? In terms of self-awareness as well, you need to know when your energy levels are the highest and when they're the lowest. That way, you know that those things that take the most energy, where you need to be fully on and committed, those things you do in the times of day that you have the most energy. The things that kind of are more draining or that don't take as much energy, save that for the times that you don't have as much energy, so that way you can focus in on those tasks as well. Make sure you're getting good night's sleep. Like, that is so important. That's when your body really shuts down and repairs itself. If you aren't getting a good night's sleep, it's going to throw off everything else in the course of your day. It is that important. And so you have to really, really protect that time. If you know that 10 o'clock is the time you need to go to sleep, well, you shouldn't be starting a brand new movie at 9:45 because you're definitely not going to go to sleep till about midnight. Guilty as charged. And so, for me, I know by 10 o'clock I need to be in the bed. And if I don't go to sleep within that 10 to 10:30 window, all of a sudden I have another burst of energy and it's like, oh my goodness, I can do a million more things for the next 2 hours. Well, I'm going to pay for it the next day because at 5:30 my alarm clock is going off. I needed those extra 2 hours that I spent doing something else. And so just getting to know your body and what works best for you, it's not the same thing for each person. But you have to know what works best for you, which is why that self-awareness is so important. So write it down. If you're not sure when you have the most energy or what works best for you or, what you should be doing when, just write it down for a week. Exactly what you're doing, when you're doing it, how long it took you to do it. So that way you can look then and reflect of, okay, when I went to bed at this time, this really helped me. Or actually, when I went, when I got up at this time, this helped. Like, start thinking about those things that work best for you and then implement it. And once you implement it and you figure out what your morning routine should look like, what your evening routine should look like, stick to it and protect it because that helps you to be the best you. Because again, you cannot pour from an empty vessel. And if you're spending all your time pouring out to everyone else, you're not taking any time to pour into you. Or even sitting still long enough so that your master and creator can pour into you and fill you up. You have to stay connected to that source so that way you're not running on empty. Just like you plug up your phone every day to make sure it's fully charged, you've got to plug in too. And that includes how you're eating, how you're sleeping, that quiet meditation time where you're in prayer and journaling, spending time with God and spending time alone in solitude so that you can focus and really have the clarity you need to determine what's next for you. So this week, I want you to focus on self-awareness and really pinpointing, determining what parts of your story make you who you are, separate from what you do. That way you can really hone in on the what that you should be doing because it's going to line up completely with who you are. That is where they come hand in hand because then you're in alignment. You've got to be in alignment with God. You've got to be in alignment with yourself and who He called you to be so that then what you do can compel or impact others to become who God created them to be. That's when you can show up as your best self when you're in total alignment. But you only know that when you increase your self-awareness to get to know who you are. I'd love to help you get there. Feel free to email me at support@thejourneyofyou.net, or you can click the link below to set up a one-on-one session with me. We can talk through it and just see where you're at, where you're trying to go, what you want to do, go forward. I'd love to be a part of that journey. Remember, this is your journey. It's where your life begins.
Thank you for spending this time with me on the journey of you. If today's reflection resonated, you're welcome to continue the conversation with me on Substack, where I share written reflections and podcast updates. You can find me at toniadbenis.substack.com. Thank you for being here.